when it first went out, I saw some of those tapes out. Well, that's what I've been looking for. I'm always trying to tape something and do something. But, I'm still back with a notebook, you know. That was good enough for Paul and Silas. That's good enough for me. You know, they wrote it down. But I'm really encouraged that we can come worship the Lord, magnify him, and experience so many good things. I want to tell you, I'm just thankful we have the privilege of being able to come today. And one of the things that we realize, it's not just about what we receive, but it's the next generation we want to be able to see blessed. And so I want to show you just a little something of what can happen with a young person. And I pray that we realize that what we do, we set an example for them. And we want to be sure that we leave a legacy of love that they can follow and know the power and the love of Jesus Christ. So let's share this with you a little bit. I think it'll encourage your heart about the next generation. We hear enough negative things. Let's see a very positive thing.
He is my comfort. He is my Lord, and he rules my life.
Hallelujah. Amen. I want to tell you, Pastor Sandy was showing that to me, and I kept watching his eyes to see if he was reading a monitor, but he wasn't. That was all coming right out of his heart. I want to tell you, that little guy prepared himself. And listen, we want to believe for our young people to know the power and the love of Jesus Christ. And it's something that they understand that's real and alive with a passion in their heart. It's one thing to memorize something. It's another thing to marry it. To really understand the the word become flesh. It's not how many times you read the Bible. It's how many times the Bible reads you. And the word becoming flesh in us is what's so needed in the world today. And may that stir your heart. May God help us to know his love. I want to talk to you today about slow motion miracles, because I believe the Holy Spirit of God is moving in a miraculous way in a time when many people would say, you know, gloom and doom and all the things that's going on. If you listen to the prophetic things that are being said today, you realize we're headed for hard times. But I want to tell you, in the dark, God does his greatest work, and he brings the light and the love, and that's you and I. And may we not walk around rehearsing the news that we hear on the television. May we walk around with another vision that we can tell, and that's the vision of what the Word of God has to say. Now, we need to listen to all that's going on in the world, but the bottom line is, we got good news, and that's what the gospel means. So walk with me in the Word today, and may the Holy Spirit bless our hearts together that we may grow by grace and understand what he'll do in this place today. Today is the day that the Lord will do something so significant in our heart. If you have your Bible, would you turn to Acts chapter 12? And I'd like to begin with verse 5. And I go to one of my favorite people in the Bible, Peter. And an understanding of his life and the process in his life helps me a great deal. If I didn't see the process, I'd give up on myself. But an understanding of the process of what God will do with people that will yield their heart. I promise you, when you come to the point that you surrender your life to anyone or to anything, you're going to be hurt. You're going to be a person that pays a price. Matter of fact, to love anything is going to cost you, because you're going to be hurt in the mix of that. But I promise you, when you get hurt, God will heal you. There's something about the fact that if you love, it'll humble you, it'll hurt you, but it'll heal you. And there's no other thing that can do that. It takes the work of the Holy Spirit of God. And if we're not willing to go through the whole process, you'll never see the great miracle that God wants you to be. The understanding of how that can work in our hearts and lives. So I pray today that we can gain traction with loving action. I want to say that to you again, that we gain traction with loving action. That's the only way that you'll make a difference. Otherwise, we just slip slide around with different thoughts, different opinions, what people say. We need to come back and hear the word of the Lord. Amen? Amen? Amen. The word of the Lord makes all the difference. Listen, words are not made so much to communicate as they are to create. God spoke the word and it came into being. And if we could understand the creative power of our words and begin that, Lord, help us not just to talk, but help us to speak, because there's a difference. Have you ever looked at somebody and said, oh, they're just talking? You know, they talk through their hat. And, you know, you listen, but it's just words. It's just talk. But then you hear somebody speak. You know, I pray every time I come before you that I can speak as an oracle of the Spirit. I can speak something of the Spirit that will make a difference. If I was just to get up here and talk, it would mean nothing. But to be able to speak, to be able to talk to you, not just to communicate, but to create something that God can do by this word. Because in the beginning, God spoke the word, and he created all things. And God wants to speak to the church today. He wants us to understand his goodness and his grace and his mercy. And Lord, help us to have the ear to hear what he has to say. Now, in the scriptures, we go to Acts chapter 12, beginning in verse 5, and we find Peter in a very difficult time of life. Now, how many would say, I'm in a difficult time right now. There's something so difficult, I really can't get beyond it. Would you just slip your hand up just as a testimony? Lord, today I really need you to come and touch in my heart in that way. Now, I believe the Holy Spirit so wants to grant that grace. But listen, there will come a time that every single one of us will raise our hand and say, Lord, I'm really going through a difficult time. It comes, but it doesn't stay. It will come to pass if we understand the miracle way that God wants. In Acts chapter 12, verse 5, it says, Peter was kept in prison but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came unto him, and the light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself, and bind up thy sandals. And he did. And he said unto him, Cast your garments around thee, and follow me. And he went out, and followed him, and knew not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they passed the first and the second ward, they came onto the iron gate leading onto the city, which opened of its own accord, and went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter came to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent an angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from the expectation of the people and the Jews. Father, today I pray that you will deliver us. Lord, I'm not interested in delivering a sermon. I'm totally desirous to be able to see souls delivered by the power of your word. I pray, Lord, that you will work that in our heart and an understanding. And God, that our minds will not slip away to some other place, but that our minds would be focused, Lord, that we may hear what you have to say this day. And Lord God, that we would understand that it's not just about us, but it's what you want to do in us so you can work through us by your Spirit. I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, last week I talked about our declaration of interdependence, of how much we need not only the Lord, but we need one another. And that's the hard place to come to. We bow to the idol of individualism so many times. We think we're strong when we stand alone, but actually that's weakness. And I pray the Holy Spirit of God will awaken our hearts to the reality of what God can and will do in touching our hearts and lives, in knowing that we need one another, we can confess our faults one to another so we can be healed, that we learn to share life and love. And you won't find any perfect people, but you'll find people just like you that are in the process. And at times you'll hurt one another, but you'll get healed if you'll just allow God to work the way he desires. When I talk to you today, I want to talk about slow motion miracles. So many times when I think about a miracle, I just want it to come and happen, and boy, Lord, that's it. I got my miracle because it's an immediate thing. But I want to talk to you about a slow motion miracle and what it means in our life, because many of you are in the midst of a miracle, but you don't know it because it's in slow motion. How many have ever watched something in a picture where they do the slow motion so you can really watch the play or the sports play or whatever, and just slow motion and you watch the whole, you get the real picture then. How many times has it been that you've watched something and it happened so fast, you hear what they're saying, but you didn't see it? And God wants to slow things down. You know, life is so busy today. Dr. James Dobson says we've learned to live with organized panic. I think that's about right. But we need to slow things down a little bit and see what God's doing. Because if you only see the immediate things, like a puff like that, that God worked a miracle, you'll soon, just as quick as it came, you can forget it. And you'll learn that in the Bible. Miracles will not mature you, especially the immediate miracles. You read the Old Testament. They had a miracle today to keep them going God's way. They had manna every morning they put in their mouth. Manna means, what is it? They couldn't figure out what it was. It was bread from heaven. You and I have miracles many times that are in process. And to us, it's, what is it? It's manna, but we don't understand. And they would grumble and stumble with a miracle in their mouth. God wants to awaken our hearts today, what he's doing, and bring us together and cause us to see how much we need him. We need one another. You see, God hates loneliness. That's why he created a family. We're part of the Father's forever forgiven family. You've heard me say that so many times. We're blood kin because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't let that become familiar. Let that become so precious and so wonderful, and that you want to see the family grow, that you want to be able to reproduce what God has put within you. Don't let it become so familiar that you're just on your way to heaven and satisfied in that way. God's going to ask you, who'd you bring with you? It's an important thing that you know that you can do that. But there's a lot of things that will bind you up and blind you from the beauty of what God wants to do. There's a lot of things that will try to get you to stop your witness. And that's what they were trying to do with Peter. They wanted him to shut up, quit talking about Jesus. And that spirit of Antichrist is so strong in the world today. But if there's ever been a time, that the redeemed of the Lord need to say so. It's in this day. And may you do it with wisdom. He is wise that winneth souls. May we come to the point that we understand, though, that God is going to work in our hearts and lives. And I always remember being with Pastor Paul Young and Cho, pastor of the world's largest church. He said he finally come to realize God had a need. He didn't understand that before. But see, God is a God of love. He doesn't just love. God is love. That's what he is, not just what he does. And God had a need. He needed an object for that love. And guess what? We're it. With all our warts and all our problems and issues and situations and everything that you can think of what's wrong with you, God looks at you and says, listen, he that knew no sin became sin for you, that you might become the righteousness of God. Will you receive that? Will you realize you're a new creature in Christ? Will you receive that? Will you listen to the creative word of the living God? Instead of listening to all the negative thoughts that have been said about you in the past, may you understand that even what you think about yourself is probably not what God thinks about you. Many times, I think we need to know our thoughts are not his thoughts, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. He thinks a lot better about us than we do, because we know everything that's wrong with us, and he knows what's right. He knows what's right. Not that we're that good, but we're a temple of the Spirit of God, and he wants a family. He wants a family for all of eternity, and folks, we're it. And I'm so thankful for that, but I want that family to grow by the grace of God, that we can understand that creative power that's in us, and that we can move and really see God's grace to help us and hold us. Would you just look at the person next to you and just tell them, you're really somebody. Yeah. Now, you know, if you understand that you're somebody, how many of you have ever been told that you're a nobody? How many of you have ever said that to yourself? I'm just nobody. I'm just, oh, you know, an old shoe. Just step on me. I want to tell you, God never feels that way. You're really somebody. Settle that on the price that was paid for you on the cross tree of Calvary. Listen, when we understand something about the miracle work of God, most every miracle begins with a seed, and the seed comes from the Word of God. That's why when I say to you today, when we talk with words, it's not just talking, you need to speak. There's some of you men, you need to learn to speak to your family and plant creative words. Don't just talk. Don't grunt. Don't just say, yeah. Listen and speak and let there be something creative. You don't have to quote King James, but think about what you say. Think of the creative power of the words. How many of you have ever had something said to you that cost you a day and made a day of depression because they really put you down? Or they said something that just kind of cut your heart out. How many of you are still trying to struggle to prove yourself to somebody you can never prove yourself to? How many of you are still trying to live up to the words that were said about you, or you're trying to be somebody, or you think you're somebody? Listen, so many people today either live being inferior or superior. May I say, both of those live in a realm of fear. Inferior, superior. Fear, fear. God wants to set you free. He wants us to understand the love that's there. Now, according to the book of Daniel, this is Daniel Webster, the dictionary, it says, a divine intervention in human affairs is what a miracle is. But in the Bible, it talks about it being a sign, an act of power. And matter of fact, it tells us in the book of Mark, these signs shall follow those that what? Believe. Now, we're not running after a sign. Signs follow us. And I think we get that a little mixed up sometimes. I think we run after the signs that show that God's doing something. And all the time, God's saying, you do something, and the signs will follow. People won't understand until you've done it. Many times you show love and you wonder if it made any difference, but it can make a difference. How many of you have ever shown love to someone, planted a seed, and you didn't know if it would ever grow or not, but years later you heard back from them, and all of a sudden you find out that seed really made a difference. I've received letters at times of things that I've said to people years ago, and many times I've heard back saying that seed really made a difference in my soul. But the understanding of what God does by the power of the Holy Spirit is something that we can do in the working through what God wants us to be able to share of the good news of the gospel, the signs that will follow us, that we have the good news of the gospel. But listen, I want to tell you, every person here in the room today, you need a miracle in some way. Because if you're trying to grow by the grace of God and become more like Christ, you need a miracle to do that. You need a divine intervention to overcome self to be more like your Savior. Amen? That kind of miracle, that's the greatest miracle. Do you know that it takes the greatest miracle of all to be able to forgive and love people?
People hurt us.
Because that understanding. Listen, one of the things I think we forget, when you forgive, you need to understand the next thing you must do is ask for wisdom. Because if you don't get wisdom, it won't be but a little while, and you'll have the same problem again because you didn't get the wisdom. And whatever got you to the point of unforgiveness in the first place will get you there again, but it'll be even stronger. You need the wisdom, the working of the Word in your life, because we base our forgiveness on what He's done, not what anybody else has done. God, make that real in my heart, that I understand that, that I'm able to forgive in that way, to understand that miracle of God's grace. The miracle of understanding, too, that and I think about our church family. You know, we're getting ready to move the hill out here. We've moved more dirt around here, and we took about 12 or 14, 15 feet off this hill. We took dirt there. Now we're going to take that whole hill out. That is going to be awarded this week, the contract on that. And so the dirt's going to fly, folks. But I want to tell you something. I've never seen God move in this place where when he does something in the natural, he's doing something in the supernatural. He's moving mountains. There's something about you got to come in and rip some things up so God to make room for what God wants to do. I don't know what all we're going to do as we get that hill flattened out, but I want to tell you there's something God wants us to see what he's doing already, because if we understand what he's doing, then he can prepare us for what he wants to do that will be something much greater than you and I can understand. But there is that kind of preparation that God wants by the power of the Holy Spirit. Many years ago, I attended a meeting with Oral Roberts, and he said, I understood something that he said. I've understood it more over the years. He said, many people come to him, and they'll say, well, Oral, I don't need a miracle. You know, I'm all right. I'm doing okay. I'm getting by. And they'll say, matter of fact, I don't believe miracles still happen today. Many people think that way. And he simply replies very kindly, if you don't believe in miracles, you don't need one yet. But you will. There'll come a time that you realize you need a divine intervention in your life. Matter of fact, if you're going to live the Christian life and contend to be like Jesus Christ, I promise you, you're going to need a miracle every day. You remember the song they used to sing? I'll see if I can pull it up. I won't sing it. Expect a miracle every day. If you expect a miracle, I'll get it straight in a minute. Expect a miracle when you pray. If you expect a miracle, God will find a way to work a miracle in your life every day. You see, we need to get an eye for miracles. Dr. Paul Risser wrote that book that's called An Eye for Miracles, and he talks about the fact that he went to Texas, and it was a day that he was excited to get there and go out and see the beauty of Texas, and all was there, and he got his camera, and he went out, and he walked for 2 hours taking pictures of the flowers and of all the architectural designs and the buildings and everything, and he said, what a joyous time. He come back just pumped after being out 2 hours. It was hot and all those things, but he was so full of joy just to be able there and experience that. But then he went out later and just went for a walk. In 30 minutes, he was disgusted. He was hot. The bugs were bothering him. He was upset. He come back frustrated. And he thought, what's the difference? I was out there 4 times longer the first time. But see, the first time he's out there taking pictures of the beauty. He's looking for something. He's seeing something. He's focused on something. And the second time when he went out, he just went for a walk. Can I tell you, that's what happens when you just talk. You're just out for a walk. But when you speak, you begin to see something. You begin to see the miraculous thing that God's doing. You look for the beauty. You look for the creative part of what God's done. I want to challenge you to begin to think about your words. And not only understanding God's word has creative power, but Joe, yours does. Chris, yours does. Courtney, yours does. See, your words, I want to tell you, somebody's words created something in that little boy's heart that caused him to be able to speak like he did. That creative power that's there. Listen, you're creating something in your children when you talk in your home. You don't even know it. They listen how you talk to other people. They listen how you talk to mom and dad talk to one another. I want to tell you, they're listening all the time. And it's not what's taught. It's what's caught in those moments that create what will be in their heart and life. May God awaken us to the miracle of what it is to live out the life of Jesus Christ, to live according to the Word and see what He'll do in our lives, to be able to relate to things and see how He can help us, and to begin to understand that it's not all of our problems, but it's our position in Christ that makes all the difference. That's why I can live above the problems. I can understand the power of His presence. But these slow motion miracles, the Christian life is simply a slow motion miracle that will take all your life to live out. You know, the understanding of God's goodness and grace has to be seen in that way, because I think many people are just looking for the miraculous, and we run after that. And because of the fact we run after something that we're to be and to have and wants to follow us, we're not allowing it to happen in us and through us so others can see the love of God. And God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, so wants to awaken our lives. You know, in Psalms 103, it says the people of Israel, they knew the acts of God. They saw some things that He did. They saw some miraculous things. They saw the parting of the Red Sea. They saw the manna there every day. And that's all they saw. But it says about Moses that he knew the ways of the Lord. Can I tell you, one of the reasons God works miracles is because He wants you to know, this is the way, walk ye in it. He wants you to know a way of life. Do you realize long before we were called Christians, we were called people of the way? A way that we walk, a way that we talk, a way that we live, that you could identify. That's why they ended up calling us Christians. Little Christ is what it means. But it was the way we walked out life, the way we lived it out. The book of Acts is the acts of the Holy Spirit, working through people just like you and I. You know, there's a lot of great persecution that can arise around the world and happens today. More people have died the death of a martyr since 1948 than in all of church history. There's people today that are giving their life because they preach about Jesus Christ. But I pray the Holy Spirit will awaken our heart to our privilege to be able to preach the good news of the gospel, and that we do that every opportunity we have. Peter was in a situation here where persecution became so strong, they killed James, the brother of John, and they put him in prison. They were going to take his life the next day. It was going to happen in that way. Because once they saw they could get away with something, then they were going to take more steps. May I say, there's an anti-spirit or anti-Christ spirit today. It doesn't take you out and kill you, but it does want to kill your witness. It wants to keep you silent. It doesn't want you to leave that legacy of love for the next generation. It wants you to understand something about the culture of the world. Here's the deal. If you don't conquer the culture of this world, the culture of this world will conquer you. That's why the Apostle Paul says, you're not only conquerors, you're more than conquerors through Christ who redeemed us. But we need to understand today how it is that we face an enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to destroy your witness, your wealth, your health, your relationships. He wants to destroy everything about you, your self-esteem, your self-image. He doesn't want you to know that you're created in the image of God. But I'll tell you what I love about this. It says, on the same night, the angel of the Lord shows up and there's light. Would you look at the person next to you and say, God works the midnight shift? Yeah, He does. God, just look back and say, God works in the dark. God works in the dark. Do you have any dark places? And He comes with light, because darkness is always the absence of light. I want to encourage you to understand something about the dark places. You see, some of us learn to live with dark rooms that never develop what God desires. The Holy Spirit so wants to awaken our heart. You see, Peter's sleeping. I'm amazed that he could sleep in the mix of that, but he did. But I think he had already learned what he shares a little later. Cast all your care on Him, because He cares for you. Because He serves a God that neither sleeps nor slumbers. And if He's up, why should I stay up? So he rests. And in that rest, the angel of the Lord shows up. And he has to hit Peter to wake him up. The light didn't do it. He comes in and he hits him on the side. Wake up! Get up, Peter! Do you ever need the Lord to come and wake you up to what He has to say? That you're in a place that you can't get out of, and God's given you a peace even though everything around you is problems? But in the mix of that, the angel of the Lord shows up. And I'm going to tell you something. The angels of the Lord still show up. If you knew it today, if you could see with your spiritual eye, this room is filled with angels. As many people as here today, there's an angel. You have not just a guarding angel as a child. You need even one greater when you grow up. But in the book of Hebrews, it says, are they not ministering spirits that minister unto the heirs of salvation? I promise you they're here. Some of you need more than one. So there's probably more than what's here in attendance because you can't keep them going. But the power of the Holy Spirit wants us to understand, as much as it was a testing at the time that Jesus went through while he was in the wilderness and the enemy's trying to tear him apart. And he would speak the word. It is written. But it says the angel of the Lord came and strengthened him after that. And I'm praying for God by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, send forth your ministering spirits and strengthen the body of Christ, your body today, your bride, your family. And help us to be a people that understand the miraculous power that's available to us. Understand the presence of what's with us. God, open our eyes that we might be able to see more than just what's happening, but that we understand that there are an innumerable amount of witnesses around us, and some of those are angels. That's other. The others are people that pray for us, that care about us. He tells Peter, he says, all right, Peter, get up. I want to speak to somebody today. Because how many of you have ever tried to wake somebody up and it's hard to get them up? I mean, you try to wake them up and, you know. How many of you have ever had the alarm clock go off and you're just, oh, you're resorting and you bang around. You're like Matlock trying to find the clock. You're a mess. And you finally hit the snooze button. And now you got another 10 minutes. Can I tell you in the name of the Lord, when the Holy Spirit comes and he speaks, and he tells you to rise up. He not only tells him to rise up, he says, you rise up quickly. Get up now. Don't wait. Because if you snooze, you lose. There's something about the fact that many times we don't respond when the Spirit speaks. We think we can do it on our timetable. And God wants us to realize, no, this is the moment. Don't miss the moment of what God wants to do. I'm not talking about panic. I'm talking about obedience. I'm talking about obedience in the smallest things so God can trust you with greater things. Amen? See, that's the miracle. That's the seed that God needs in our life. I want to tell you, I look at this church family, and I look at and we're getting ready to move on the hill here again. But I still remember so many times walking this hill and praying, and there's nothing here. But God planted seeds. There's people that walked all over this property and prayed. When we couldn't get the property next door, we went and walked, and I just asked Mrs. Grossman, can we just walk over it and pray? Okay, but I'm not going to sell it to you. That's not going to happen. Okay, just let us walk in your field and pray. We did that. And every time the door was shut, no, no, no. And then God opened the door in a miraculous way that we could get that property behind her, trade land and do that. I want to tell you, this is a miracle family. It was never about land and buildings or any of that. It's about bringing a family together, where we love the Lord, where we understand about loving one another. And even though we bump and bruise one another and don't understand sometimes, I pray, Holy Spirit of God, help us to be a people that really do unite around you. And if we come and we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. If we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another. It's an understanding about God doing something in us that you look at people and you'll be able to see all their faults, but you see the deeper need that's there and you see the miracle of people loving God, and that causes me to love them. It's based around him. When we go through that, we can understand how to build relationships that'll last. We can get beyond the shallow surface and these shallow relationships that we have so many times, so we can be rooted and grounded in the love of God. May I say, that's not just you loving God. Every time you love God, you say you love God. I promise you, God will put people in your path that you'll find out if it's real or not. You will be tested, and the test will be people. Do you love me, Peter? Yes, feed my sheep. Do you love me, Peter? Yes, feed my sheep. Boy, all the time, every time you say you love the Lord, I want to tell you what, he'll put you to a point. You get a chance to find out if it's real. It's the real deal when you can love others. When he comes to the point of an understanding, he says, now put your shoes on, put your coat on. He went out and followed him, and he didn't know what was going on. Peter is still in a haze. How many of you get up, you're not a morning person? I mean, you're just in the fog. Peter didn't get a chance to drink a cup of coffee or anything. He has to get up, he has to put his shoes on. Get up now and put your coat on, put your shoes on. Let's get ready to go. And he's putting them all on. But Peter hadn't got this figured out. His head is nowhere. I'm glad he's got a heart that's somewhere, though. I'm glad he's got a heart that's ready to obey what God has to say, even though he doesn't know it. Matter of fact, it says he thinks it's a vision. He's in a twilight zone somewhere. He doesn't have this figured out at all. And the Lord is saying, come on, let's go. Now, I want to tell you what. There's things that happen there that you and I must see if you want to understand the miraculous power of the Spirit of God. This is a slow motion miracle. It's a process, not a punctuation. It's a process that every one of us are going through. Some of us are in the midst of a miracle. And if we're not careful, our mouth will rob us of the word, the creative power that God wants, because we'll talk and not speak. We won't understand the creative power of our words. And it's not words we just say here. God hears us when we're in our house, when we're alone. Because you are what you are when you're alone. That's when God really lets us know what the real deal is. But he told Peter, get up, put your clothes on. Come on, Peter, let's get ready to go. But here's the problem. We walk up, there's a guard there. It says we passed by the first ward. There's a guy there ready to stop you. There's always going to be something that stops you and wants to stop you if you ever desire to really do something for God that makes a difference. And I'll tell you, Peter had to walk on by the first one. And the first one didn't see him. He could have stopped there, by the way. He could have said, wait a minute, I can't do this. He sees the second guy. They go past the second ward, the second guard. And on he goes. Can I tell you something? The many times miracles don't work in our life because we don't realize our part. We're looking for that immediate thing that God will do. We don't understand the process that he'll take us through. Why doesn't God just tell us this is a miracle? It's because he wants to mature us. He wants to process us. He wants us to grow by grace. That kapoof thing won't last. He wants to bring us through with an understanding we're not alone. He never leaves us, no matter what we're in. And circumstances may say that. But you must be able to hear beyond them. And God, by the power of the Spirit, who was helping Peter to do that. And he went all the way. He went clear to the gate. You know, sometimes I think a lot of people stop halfway to the gate because we don't like to wait. Amen? And that's God's favorite word. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll walk and not be weary. They'll run and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Oh, brother. I want to tell you, I can tell the difference between God's will and mine every time. Mine's much quicker. But God, by the Spirit, he's looking at your destiny, not just your difficulty. He's looking at the destiny. That's why the Apostle Paul says, these light afflictions work for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. Don't just look at the temporal. Look at the eternal. Listen, if you get heavenly minded in a right way, you'll be earthly good. You'll do some earthly good. And you'll be able to enjoy this life. Because you know, this life isn't the big deal. It's a deal that makes a difference. Because this is the place that your life can really count. God wants you to understand that. But there's things you have to do. If you got a scholarship, and it was, you know, you prayed, said, oh God, I want to go to this school. I want to get the scholarship. And you got it, and God blessed you. Say, that's a miracle that God provided that. And then you find out you got to keep a B average to be able to maintain that scholarship. That's a tough deal. Now you got to do something. Listen, God wants to partner in the miracle. He wants relationship. God hungers for that. He'll do the greater part, but we have to be able to move in and do our part. You know, I prayed for a job, and I asked God, please open the door. I'll do anything, Lord, when I went to Bible college. I went out there with not having anything. We moved everything we had in a little U-Haul trailer. And I want to tell you, I was saying, Lord, I'll do any job, just open the door. But you know, he opened the door for a job, and it was a wonderful job. The only problem is, I had to work. Oh, some people say, Lord, I want you to bless me financially. And then overtime comes, and we grumble about it. You know, we get a little weird sometimes. You know, I work full-time. I was a full-time student. I was a student pastor of a little Baptist church, and I was the first school president at Mount Vernon Bible College, and I look back at that and say, God, that's a miracle. I'm just a little guy with a ninth grade education, and I say that with humility of heart, but I quit school and went to work to help with our family. And I had to do the GED test when I got there to be able to finish up in college and do what I did. I ran into algebra, and I didn't know algebra, but I said, God, I understand you probably know it, so I'm just going to write down the answers. That's all I know to do, and I got a B. But see, God helps you when you're stepping out and you're responding and you're doing it for right reasons. The miracle of God's grace in this church and in this community, The miracle that we can be a lifelong learner. I want to tell you something. I learn every day of my life. I learn from every person. People are the books in the library of my life. And I pray, Holy Spirit of God, thank you for 42 years that we've had here in this church. And let the miraculous power of the Spirit of God continue to develop everything that you desire. Because listen, please know, this miracle is not just about you. This miracle is about developing you to become a messenger for what God wants. We look at a world that's dying. And listen, here's the greatest definition of discipleship you'll ever get, and it's so needed in the world today. And it's these words simply, follow me. When you follow him, you'll arrive at the right place, but you can bring many other people with you. You can understand the goodness of God and see how he will lead you and direct you in life in such a way that you make a difference. But you got to get up. You got to get up quickly. Don't sit any longer. Arise and see what God will do. Begin to see what God will do in your circumstance. And it may come in seed form, but you count that seed precious. You water that seed. And God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, will want you to know God wants that miracle for you more than you do. But it's dependent on your partnership. The Lord says, I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord. Not plans for calamity, but for your welfare, that you might have a future and a hope. He wants us to understand something about that miracle grace. Listen, when you look in the Bible, you'll find more about the slow motion miracles than anything else. Talk about a slow motion miracle. How about Noah building the ark? 120 years. That's a pretty slow motion miracle. Amen. But to see the process. But listen, Noah performed before the storm. Church, if we don't perform, if we don't perform before the storm that's coming to our culture, our nation needs a miracle. And that miracle is the church. It's you and I. We don't have an opinion about every politician and what they have to say, but we can pray and it'll make a difference. He performed before the storm. He built the boat because it's hard to build a boat in a storm. And there's something about the miracle that they did and what the God did in that grace. Listen, a miracle is something that you want, but you don't desire that. You don't desire to follow the miracle. You want the miracle to follow you. It's something that we understand about God's goodness and grace because we have to have obedience, not just as a performance. It's a heart thing. It performed out of relationship. We don't make the miracle. The miracle makes you. What a difference. I'm not running around looking for a miracle. I'm looking for Jesus. He's the greatest miracle of all. I'm in the boat. And Jesus, I see you out walking on the water. You're walking and doing something impossible. Lord, if that's you, bid me to come. Listen, it wasn't Peter wanting to walk on water. It was Peter wanting to get out where Jesus is. May God help us to get that kind of hunger in our heart. And Peter's walking in the midst of a miracle and he loses perspective for a little bit and down he goes and he cries out to the Lord and up he comes. And that miracle that took place there, it wasn't about walking on water. It was about walking on the word when Jesus said, come. And he'd like to say for some of you today, come, follow me. And it may be in seed form. But if you'll come, listen to what he has to say. That miracle is on the way. It's working. Matter of fact, I believe we're in the midst of many miracles right now. There's miracles in your heart and life you don't know about. And the enemy will try to blast you. And about the time that you think that you're going to break down, the enemy knows you're at a point of breakthrough. But he doesn't want you to see it. And I pray, Holy Spirit of God, awaken our heart. Cause us to understand what you're doing by your grace and your miracle power. That slow motion miracle that's there in so many lives, you'll see it. You'll see it in the woman with the issue of blood that had it for 12 years. But one day she reached out. That miracle was mounting up and moving in her heart for a long time before the day that she saw Jesus and said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. The miracle had put things in motion when the man had a withered hand. And Jesus said, stretch it forth. There's something that man had to decide long before that time. I believe in him. I trust him. The miracle that God wants to put in motion in our life has to happen if we're going to see our world come to Christ. I listen to WDLM quite a bit when I'm traveling around. And one of the things I listened to was John MacArthur was talking and answering questions from the Bible for people. And I know John from a meeting with Pastor Jack Hayford. And I know that he says things about Pentecostal people. Sometimes it's not flattering, but we're the body of Christ. We'll work those out. Amen? Well, you know, the only one high enough to look down on anybody is God. Amen? Yeah. But the question came, when we go to heaven, and we're in heaven, will we think about our loved ones that weren't saved? Will we think about our neighbors and the people we work with and all of those that never come to Christ? And he said, no, that can never be. All that is dissolved completely. Because you could never be in heaven and think about that. You'd be tormented for all of eternity. And I thought about that, and I thought, well, that's wonderful. That's it. But I also thought this. Now is my time. This is my shelf life. This is my window of opportunity. The tears that I want to shed and the people I want to reach, now, today, is the time. And God, it'll take a miracle. It'll take a miracle to get over self so that I can see others and have the kind of passion that I want to see them in heaven. You can't win a soul in heaven. You'll worship better than you ever could. I'll be able to sing in heaven and make it'll sound good. All that good stuff will be going on. But I want to tell you something. You can't win a soul. Now's the time. Well, I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to hurt their feelings. I don't want to put them off. I don't either. But I want them to know Jesus. I want us to know this is the time for a miracle. And here's the deal. I want you to understand this. If you will sincerely ask the Spirit of the Lord to help you, you won't just talk. You'll begin to speak creative power. And it may take a while. Well, they didn't respond. It'll take time. Billy Graham said from the time people come forward in his crusades, it's 7 years before they fully get connected to what God's doing. That's a miracle in process. It's a seed that's been sown, and it'll grow, and it'll bear the fruit. I'm telling you, some of you are in the midst of a miracle. There's people watching your life. They still want to see the fruit that lets them know that God is a good God. But there's going to be testing of that. And I want to tell you, stand strong. I want you to see the miracle that's in process in your life. You're in the midst of a miracle. This church is a miracle. But most of all, you're the miracle. What God's done in your life. And dear church, God wants to be able to move through that miraculous power to bring more people to Him. And I believe God will do it. Amen? Would you pray with me? Father, in the name of Jesus, when you spoke to my heart about this, Lord, I needed a miracle. And Lord, I wanted one real quick. I didn't like the process, but I thank you, Spirit of God, that in the process, I was pressed closer to you. And God, as I was pressed closer to you, I began to see others that were hurting too. And I began to see the darkness, Lord, that engulfs their life. And Lord God, it just pressed me all the more to want to let you shine through me. Lord God, I pray that we'll realize today nothing can stop us. If God be for us, who can be against us? Lord, we see a process in Peter. Lord, where he was imprisoned, Lord, you brought him out. God, I pray for those that are imprisoned in their mind, imprisoned, Lord God, by being so self-conscious rather than God-conscious. Or just, Lord, they're imprisoned with the familiar things of what it is to be a Christian. They're bored. But Lord God, you want them to be blessed to where it runs over. God, the reason we're bored so many times is because we're not doing anything with what we got. Forgive us. Cleanse us. God, we come today and we repent that we talk so much and speak so little. I ask, Lord God, that you will start working in a brand new way in every one of our hearts, that we'll be mindful of the creative power of our words, not just to communicate, but to create what you desire. May we stand before a lost person and share the good news of the gospel and realize we're planting the seed that'll meet the deepest need in the human soul. God, make that real, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. As we're praying together and allowing the Spirit of God to speak, I'd like to ask if there's any here today. You say, Pastor, I need the Lord. I need to get back with the Lord. I need to get things right in the Lord. Everything's been turned upside down. I want Him to make it right today. I want it to be right so I can receive what God has and what God can do in me, He can then do through me. that's a need, would you slip your hand up right where you're seated? I'll not do anything to embarrass you or put you on the spot. I'm not asking you to join the church or get religion, but this is between you and the Lord. With every head bowed, would you just allow that privacy for every person to slip their hand up? And God sees your hand. God sees your hand, my brother, and he hears the cry of your heart, and you're in the midst of a miracle. There's several of you. I could walk right out to you, and I could tell you the miracle that's going on in your life. There's a miracle thing that God's doing in you, and the enemy would like to short-circuit that miracle. He would like to discourage, distract, do anything he can to stop that miracle, because when it can flow to you, then it'll overflow through you, and the enemy of your soul fears that. Don't allow anything to stop that miraculous power. And be mindful. God's going to start speaking to you in a way that'll make you mindful of how you speak, the tone of your voice and what you're doing, your body language, how you respond to people, how you're responding at home, how others see you in the world, not just on Sunday. The whole attitude of what God so desires for the body of Christ to have, that will come by the power of His Holy Spirit. Lord, we humble our heart. I pray today that as much as you touch these hands and hearts, God, that you touch every one of us, make us mindful of our miracle. God, may we not be a people who would miss our miracle by murmuring. God, I pray that we would be people that mature and grow by the grace of the living God. And Lord God, I know it's not by might nor power, but by the Spirit of God that it'll be accomplished. But I believe for that. I thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord God, that this miracle power will be in the Church of the Open Door. And Lord God, that will move us for everything that you desire. We humble our heart. We believe for that in the name of Christ our Lord. And everyone said, amen. Would you stand with me, please?